Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bernstein and McKnight brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Wolves are making big plans for their 25th anniversary. Get your season tickets now and receive exclusive benefits. Visit ChicagoWolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES. The Bears are opening training camp at Bourbonnais. It appears that there is a table and a backdrop set up on the campus of Olivet Nazarene University, where Bears general manager Ryan Pace and new head coach Matt Nagy are going to sit and take reporters' questions on the opening of camp.
Yeah, so we'll tap dance a bit here. But I was thinking, with Rich Campbell on the show earlier, what do we have him on, 10 o'clock, I think? We were talking with Rich. You realize we asked him almost exclusively questions about the defense for an offseason that has been entirely revolved around Mitchell Trubisky, about the installation of Matt Nagy's offense, everything. We asked defensive questions, and that was kind of cool. It was nice to have that kind of focus on that part of the Bears, because it's just kind of this understood expectation of, well, they'll be fine, they'll be better. They'll just be the same they were last year, a top 10 type defense. Maybe they take the ball away a few more times, but Akeem Hicks has said it as much as anybody else. They're just happy they've got an offense that's expected to score some points this season, as opposed to having to play from, you know, not allow 17 entire year.
I think it's hard to ask about something we've never seen.
Yeah. Just pure question marks up and down the lineup offensively.
It might be easier to ask about all these guys that are coming back that we know who they are and what they have done and what they can be expected to do. And the same does not go for an offense that's just entirely new, not to mention the fact that the best wide receiver is coming off an injury and is just getting up to speed.
Yeah, and like Rich pointed out, too, it's nice to see, you know, his Instagram, Allen Robinson's Instagram, and his, you know, the back to business, the whole montage, right? You got to have a montage. That was cool to see and encouraging, I think, for the Bears offense. But we're also not going to have answers on the field, at least for a little while. Rich and I were talking about this last week. They're going to show you what they want to show you. You know, in open practices with the media there, they're going to show them nothing. And then during preseason games, if Mitchell plays in that first of five, you'd see something, I guess. It's going to be very basic and very bland. At least that's the expectation.
We aren't going to know anything until it matters, or unless a player slips and tells us something he's not supposed to tell us, or somebody. It's going to be one of these things, remember, where I don't know if he's come out with his training camp reporting rules yet. Have we gotten those? And I don't know if you and Rich talked about it, because we did have the draconian John Fox rules about what you could ask and what you couldn't ask, what you could or couldn't report, where a fan actually had more ability to disseminate information than a credentialed member of the media.
If I remember right, we were talking about this with Rich, some of those same restrictions apply. What they're able to report and what they're not able to report, those still apply. But I don't know if we're in the same level of, like, where, who was it, Patrick Finley was doing courtroom
sketches,
rendition, yeah, courtroom sketches, like from camp, like this. The football went down the field, and here is my stick figure. I don't know if it's going to be that level, but it seems as though Rich expected the same kind of restriction or a similar type of restriction on camp reports.
Well, that's when we decided last year to deputize a fan and just, or have somebody buy a ticket, or somebody stand there and say, look,
start tweeting.
Not a credentialed member of the media, and here's what we're seeing. Here's the formations. Here's who just got hurt. They just brought a card out for this guy. And it's going to be, the answer is, it's going to take a village to actually try to figure out what the Bears are doing.
A village of fans or a village of reporters?
Everybody.
I guess the whole thing.
And some willingness on the Bears' part. We until Nagy actually gives us a body of work and some evidence of what his habits are, we're not going to know how willing he's going to be. He's not going to be Amos Alonzo Stagg and say, here's all the plays I'm running, now you figure out a way to stop it. He's also probably not going to be John Fox, in that we have to protect everything and make sure that we're safe from any exposure of anything possibly helping our opponents. But I guess now we can take it out to the Bears press conference from Bourbonnais.
just playing fast, you know, not thinking. Calling plays now is easy. That'll get a little more challenging as we go in camp. But he's making throws now, and he's taking it. We were 101, level 101 early on. Okay, we're slowly getting to 202 with him, and that's just going to continue to grow. I think the biggest thing going into this is just keeping a pulse on the players in regards to, you know, their health with their legs, their bodies. We're going to have a physical camp. There's going to be some live action that goes on. The guys know that. We told them that going into the off season here, or in the off season headed into the summertime, that it's going to be physical, and we need to callus our team a little bit. So for me, as a head coach, what I need to do is not just focus in on the offense and where they're at, but I got to have a pulse on offense, defense, and special teams. And do guys need a water break at a certain time? How's the health status of a certain player? I'll talk that through with Andre Tucker, our trainer. And so the good thing of kind of this rookie camp is for everybody, you get a little taste of that, and you kind of see how the process goes, and it fine-tunes you up for the rest of the camp. I don't necessarily have any markers. I think the biggest thing that every coach in the NFL will tell you, every person in the NFL, you want to come out healthy. That's a big one there. So you have to know where you're at with that. And there's some luck involved in that. There's some unfortunate injuries, and then there's some ones that happen for certain reasons. So health is the biggest concern for us. But as far as markers, not necessarily.
Speaking of health, do you anticipate any players opening camp on the public?
No, we should be good to go. There shouldn't be anybody on PUP, and that's a good thing for us. We're going through the physicals right now, but as of right now, we feel really good where we're at.
Are some of the guys that couldn't, that you guys just kind of hold back a little bit during the OTAs, like Allen Robinson and Kyle Long, will those guys be full force?
Yeah, they'll be going full steam ahead. They'll be ready to go, and you go back to OTAs. The reason we did that was so that they're ready to go now. And so we that's where we're at now. Now it's go time.
Matt, for you, why has the relationship with Mitch clicked at this point? What do you like about his personality that makes it mesh with you?
He's very driven, very focused, and that's kind of generic terms, but the kid genuinely cares about the game of football and his position. He wants to be the greatest teammate on this team, and he knows if he does that, he'll make guys around him better. And so out here in rookie camp, He's taking a leadership role. He's just continuing to have arrow up in that world. And so we got to just keep it going. And now we get the vets back in here, and that thing just keeps going. But he's just so focused on this. I don't want to say perfectionism, because sometimes that can be a little paralysis by analysis. But he cares a lot about this game, and we're very fortunate to have him.
Man, what are your expectations at this point for Kevin White?
Also want to have
I'm sorry.
How do you balance keeping the team healthy but also want to have a physical camp? Because obviously injury is an issue for this group the last few years.
Yeah. Well, some of that, in the periods that you go ahead and have the live periods, you got to know really situationally, you got to have a plan for when you're going to do that. And we'll get together as a staff, and we have an idea of when that's going to be. And then the rest of that is every team out there is always they're going to bang, and they're going to have live periods, and you just go with it. You know, it's the guys understand that, and then there's some bumps and bruises. We have a great training staff that gets the guys back on track, and so you roll, and then you know, you also, if there's certain players that you want to be calculated with and understand how you're going to do it, there's a method to the madness. And again, I know it's my first year going through it, but I'll learn with some things, but for the most part, I feel like we have a solid plan.
Ryan, what are your expectations at this point for Kevin White?
Yeah, you know, Hub, he's had a good offseason, and just like our team, you know, he needs to carry that momentum into this camp. You know, he's playing with a lot of confidence right now. He's very focused right now. But really, expectations, just be the best he can be, you know, focus on himself, which is what he's been doing.
How different is it? So, I mean, basically, he hasn't played for 3 years. He's the seventh overall pick in the draft. It's got to be a little different from what you were hoping for 3 years ago, or maybe not.
I just think we just focus on this year, and again, focused on this offseason in this offense with these coaches and what he's doing right now. And I just feel like there's a lot of momentum right now with his play.
Ryan, it's part of the process to deal with the first-round draft pick and contracts, but what's the level of disappointment that Roquan isn't here from day one, getting acclimated as quickly as
he can? Yeah, David, I mean, ideally, yeah, we'd want him here. And, you know, Matt touched on the continuity we're building right now and getting away for camp and the benefits of that. But I think we also understand, you know, this happens. This isn't necessarily abnormal around the league. You know, it's happening. It is time, sometimes part of the process. We're very optimistic that he'll be here very soon. But it is kind of what it is right now.
Ryan, what were your impressions of him through the spring?
Everything we thought, Rich. I mean, he's, you know, obviously he's an extremely talented player, but all the intangibles that he brings to the table are also off the charts. So when we talk about identifying that guy that could potentially be that bell cow on defense, he has those type of traits.
Ryan, how do you – you guys haven't had the most physical camps here since you showed up. How do you feel about him with more live and what that's going to – for the team and maybe evaluation?
Yeah, we're a young team, Brad, you know, with a new offensive system going in. And I do agree with the philosophy of sometimes you have to build callus. You know, you have to build that up. So it will be a physical camp, and we welcome that, you know, and so we'll look forward to seeing that out there.
Matt, what are you most curious to see in Allen Robinson as you get him full steam for the first time?
Well, again, just seeing him out here early on here the last couple of days is just his mental ability to get by, the trust factor of running certain routes. And I think, you know, when you have that type of injury, a lot of it does come down to the mentality of, are you okay? Are you 100%? So we'll know that right away when he gets out here. You throw the pads on. He's playing. He's done everything he could possibly do to this point to get to where he's at. He's rehabbed really hard to get to this point, and now he's here. And so mentally he's in a good spot. Physically he's in a good spot. We just got to put it together now. And the other thing with that is he needs to start building that relationship with Mitch, right? That's a big part too.
What does he need to be for you in this offense to really be that guy that is a go-to guy for you?
Well, for us, I think going into this is he's somebody that can play, you know, multiple positions. He's not a one position guy. He can do a lot of things really well. When we went in through this free agency process, we talked about how he's a big physical receiver. He's a red zone threat. He's good versus press. He has experience. So we know he has all that. I think right now the biggest thing that we'd like to do coming out of this camp is having him and Mitchell just create that timing and that connection between the two, because that's going to be important.
Matt, what did you do personally with your short summer to just kind of get ready for your
went back to Kansas City, got some family time with my boys. I watched a few baseball tournaments, which was good to do, and just get away for a little bit. Took a small trip away on vacation with the family, came back here, had a few days in my house, and now we're here. Here we are. So it went quick, but it was good and had good time, and it's exciting to be back here.
Matt Nagy, the Bears' new head coach, along with his boss, GM Ryan Pace, meeting the media to kick off Bears camp in Bourbonnais.
Oh, absolutely. No. The one thing you'll see here in this offense, Moon, is that we have guys all over the place in different spots. And so Ryan did a great job of looking at these certain free agents that we went after, some of these draft picks that we went after, and getting guys that are football smart, they have a high football IQ, and they're able to play multiple positions. When you can do that, that helps you out as a offensive play caller to be able to move guys around. Is it going to happen overnight to every single receiver that comes into this offense? No, but we do a pretty good job, I feel like, at balancing of where they're at position-wise, what they can and can't handle, and then we try to fit them into the process.
Ryan, what's the position, if any, are cloudy for you as you enter here? What, you know, position groups in particular are you interested in seeing how it sorts out?
Yeah, Rich, I mean, that's the beauty of camp, right, is the competition, and the more we improve our roster, the better the competition. So cloudy might not be a right word, but it's more just the excitement of seeing these battles play out. And there's certain ones that are a little bit more competitive than others, and that's going to be fun to see. But, I mean, again, this is just the start. We got 5 preseason games, which is huge from an evaluation standpoint.
What positions? Do you feel like you're, you know, a spotlight for you then?
I mean, just to touch on it, I mean, tight ends would be one for sure, you know, that there's just a lot of talent at that position, you know.
Optimistic. What makes you feel that? Is it because it's in past, is it a problem, or is it because it's something that the negotiation is not
I think these are rather common and somewhat predictable, you know. And again, we got great relationships with their agents. We've worked with them on a number of deals, and it's just working through this process. I'm sure he's dying to be here, knowing him as a player and him as a football player.
Yeah, we're about a dozen questions. I don't think anybody's asked about the defense yet. How are you now balancing your focus on both sides of the ball? How will you approach that?
Yeah, it's getting a little easier for me. Things are slowing down a little bit as far as the on the offensive side, which allows me to go over and watch the defensive drills or slip into a meeting here or there. And this is a great time right now in training camp to get more of that done and to have more discussions one-on-one with Vic and the thing, and just to talk through, because one of the benefits of that is me being able to be helped out from him on stuff that he sees, and then I can help him out with things that I see with the defense. And we just communicate, you collaborate, and this is an ongoing process. It'll continue to be this way, and I'll step in when I can, and then at nighttime when we have our staff meetings, when that's over, we get back together and talk. And so I think the biggest thing is open communication, and then me as well finding time, which is a must, and I've been doing it already, is to watch the defensive side of the ball, to watch the special teams on video. You know, for my whole career, it's only been offense. So now I get to flip on the tape and start evaluating and watching the defense.
Is there anything specific about the defense at this point that's on the top of your to-do list? I'm sure you got offensive focuses. What about you?
No, maybe as we get going, I can answer that question down the road here. But right now, nothing that stands out.
Ryan, I imagine there's been so much emphasis on the quarterback position, Mitch. Is there ever a time when you say, step back and say, whoa, this kid's 23 years old, or too much? Are we putting too much on it?
No, there's not, because it's such a valuable part of the puzzle. But that's our job as coaches to kind of corral that and make sure that we take care of him in certain ways. So we're teachers on that field. We're not yellers and screamers. That's not how we teach that position. We coach them, and then we try to teach them on the whys. And so I don't like the word expectations. That gets used a lot with players, with teams, et cetera. For him, we just want him to control what he can control, listen to what we're teaching him, and then go out there and play. And so this is something that the first time we get out there and play a real game, you know, in Lambeau, and we play that first regular season game, there's going to be hiccups. He's going to learn from that. And then we just continue to grow as the games go by. But Mitch can handle all of it. He's a very mature kid for that age, and we understand that. And he does not want us to pull back on him because of that. He wants us to load him up, see what he can handle, and that's what we've done.
Brad, are you comfortable with the depth you have at rusher right now, or is that an area you might still look
for? You know, Adam, you know, we did a couple things in the offseason to address that. Obviously, getting Leonard back healthy is important, and signing Aaron Lynch and re-signing Acho, and then addressing it in the draft. So we like the guys that are there. I think if you ask any NFL team, they're always going to want more pass rush. Some of that can be generated from our defensive line as well. So to say we're comfortable there, I think we're always trying to improve, especially in pass rush.
Right, with Adam Shaheen, what you saw last year, what are kind of the expectations for where he can grow in his game and training campus?
I think as we've seen the OTAs unfold and him in this new offense, I feel like you can never have enough good tight ends. And we've talked about the U tight end and the Y tight end and the importance of those positions to our offense. And I think we got a lot of different pieces there. They all have different strengths, size, blocking, route running, special teams. They all fit together really well. It's a really competitive group. But with Shaheen, just his size, his route running for a guy that's that big, his catching radius, his ability to go up and get the ball in tight coverage, those are all attractive traits. And, again, he's still a young player from a relatively small school that we still feel has upside and is still growing.
Man, you mentioned the play call is eventually getting more challenging for Mitch. How do you sort of map that out or balance it out, like when to ramp it up, and knowing it's sort of a long process for when you kind of get this offense down?
Yeah, well, it's all about confidence early on, so get them some confidence, and then start feeding these guys more complex plays, more complex thoughts and ideas, see how they digest it, and then pull back. It's very similar to OTAs. this is kind of our laboratory right now where we're able to put plays out there, see how they work, what we like, what we don't like. We communicate it behind closed doors as we watch tape. And so it's something that's worked for us and something I've been a part of as far as how you go about the amount of plays that you install. And then the other thing, too, that we all believe in here as a staff is situational football. We need to be situationally smart in all three phases. And so we're gonna harp on that. Every one of our guys on this team are going to understand that they need to be smart football players. And we're going to use examples throughout the league where things have gone down and where you could either, hey, this is a really good job or this was a poor job. How do we, you know, and the whys of how do we get better at that? So it's kind of a something for us where we just balance it out.
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I think, you know, one of the traits we look for in players is, you know, durability and availability. And, you know, Leonard's a very talented player with a lot of natural pass rush ability. But in order for him to reach that production, he needs to be on the field. So I know he's worked a lot on his body. He's worked a lot on his techniques. And so we just feel if he can stay healthy, the production's going to be there.
Well, really, for us as players and as a staff, this is kind of the big picture of it. That extra game just gives you one more game of going through the game procedures. So when you're out there, you go to the hotel the night before. You get up in the morning and you get to get on the buses and get to the game. You have the pregame warm-up. You get to see kind of how it goes. For us as coaches, how does the sideline go? How does the guys up in the box, where are they at? How's the communication process? So you get one extra game to kind of tune you up for the regular season. And so we look at it as it's a positive thing for us. And again, for the players, they have that extra week here. So we as coaches need to balance that out with their health and understand practice-wise where they're at. And then just give them the greatest chance possible to get reps. These young guys, it's going to be good for them too, right? For the rookies and for some of the backups, they're going to have probably more reps because of it, which is something that's good for them, and it helps us evaluate.
That is the Bears kicking off training camp, Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. The news is that there's no news on Roquan Smith. They're just working on some details, and they're optimistic, but they didn't give any reason for optimism, nor did they describe what the details are.
Details.
Just details. They say it's common, it's expected, except it's kind of not all that common or expected until it just sort of occurs.
Talk with Mike Florio this week. It kind of seems like it's less offset language than it is spreading the, I guess, guarantees around is kind of how he was characterizing it. And he did think, though, when we talked to him, that it's becoming more common, especially with guys, you know, late in that top 10 realm holdouts like this.
This segment brought to you by Rinnai Tankless Water Heaters. Meet the all-new Rinnai Sensei Tankless Water Heater, offering an endless supply of hot water, significant energy savings, and Wi-Fi monitoring. Visit tanklessismore.com to see why tankless is more. You know what I have next? Have I given away the tickets yet to our Monday meeting with Wilson Contreras and Mike Montgomery, the Cubs on deck luncheon? Well, guess what?
Do we have some?
We do. We have a pair of tickets if you want to join us and be a part of what is going to be a terrific afternoon at Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern. Just be listening next, and you're going to have your opportunity to win a pair of tickets. So keep it here on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Sounds like fun tonight. You're gearing up for it?
We got stuff to give away. We're going to be at Mullins in Lyle. It's 3080 Warrenville Road. We're going to have some food. We're going to have some drinks, courtesy of our friends at Budweiser. And you have a chance to win Cubs tickets if you want to come out. We'll be there from 6 until 8 p.m. It'll be my first trip to Mullins. You've been, though, right? For Who Needs Two or something like that?
Yeah, I think we've done a show from there.
I've heard good things. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, in my dotage, with the number of remotes that we've done, a lot of it sort of kind of blends together. But I'm confident that we have done something from Mullins.
That sounds right.
Before.
So you can get some stuff, some free stuff there, some Cubs tickets from 6 to 8 p.m. at Mullins. But we've got some stuff to give away a little bit later on in the show. We can do it now? Are we teasing that for a little later?
We have another $1,000 to give away in a little bit.
Right. See, and we have so much stuff.
Right now, we'll take caller number. What number you want to do?
Five.
All right, caller number five. To the contest line, 312-591-6700 to win a pair of tickets to the Cubs On Deck Luncheon on July 23rd. We're going to be with All-Star catcher Wilson Contreras, pitcher Mike Montgomery at the Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern. It's presented by Xfinity and AZEK Building Products. Visit 670thescore.com/ondeck for more information. We should also mention that we've made a bit of a change to our appearance tomorrow.
That's right, we have.
Yes, we were originally going to be on Gallagher Way outside at the park. However, due to the high likelihood of inclement weather, we're going to be across the street. We're going to be at Smoke Daddy upstairs, and
you're upset.
You're laughing. Oh, no.
Ah, damn.
Please, please don't let us have to do the show from Smoke Daddy. Yeah, because Mitch's like, you know, you guys are going to be at Smoke Daddy. And maybe I'm kind of like, Yeah,
that's fine. Like, that's fine. Make that decision.
Yeah, you know what they have there? Barbecue.
So I took the folks over to Smoke Daddy this last weekend. They came in to say happy birthday and whatnot. They wanted a dinner. They were driving all the way up from some God knows where, Knoxville, Tennessee or something, where my grandfather is. So they're driving back up and they're hungry. They want something.
Of course, your grandfather's in Knoxville.
Yeah, he's in
Tennessee.
Knoxville. He's been in Knoxville for a while. Loudon, technically. It's just outside. It's actually right around where Nicky Delmonico grew up.
Okay.
So I was talking to Nicky last offseason about, you know, growing up around Knoxville. And, you know, he knew some of the local places and jumping off bridges and stuff like that. It's a good time. But so they're driving back up and we go to Smoke Daddy. No, literally jumping off bridges. That's what you, there's some like dams and bridges and stuff jump off into. Yeah, you jump off the bridges and stuff into the river there.
Okay, because, you know, Nikki had some emotional issues, and I was wondering what
you
were talking about there. Okay.
No!
All right, keep
this
passing
the open
windows.
This was a long time
windows.
Ago. I'm talking about when Nikki was, you know, in high school and stuff like that. That's what he was talking about.
Okay, gotcha.
Oh, God. So we went to Smoke Daddy, and I got all kinds of hooked on the mustard-based barbecue sauce that they've got there. The middle one in the setup, you know, because every barbecue place has
Eastern
the three.
Carolina.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's you're talking Smoky Mountains,
mass
Asheville,
quantity.
Kind
yep.
of a true mustard base.
Just drenching the chicken and that kind of thing. And not because the chicken was, I mean, it was cooked perfectly, but the barbecue is great.
Yeah, you know, having spent time in North Carolina, having been all over the state, you know, east, west, north, south, and understanding the balkanization of barbecue there, the tribalism behind what is considered proper and what is not. Is it whole hog? Is it just Boston butt? Is it the Carolina style of the Piedmont, which is the apple cider vinegar based sauce
with
a little slight bit of tomato
it's
in it.
It's a little thinner, right?
Yeah, it's my personal favorite. Then you get the mustard base, and then you do get more of an actual tomatoey base size. And it's what of the hog that you use. It doesn't have to be wood smoked. And there have been competing groups. There are some who believe that the feud is as important as the food. That's their phrase. The feudin is as important as the food. Having these strict differences in what constitutes real barbecue is more important. And there's actually a certification group that is self-appointed, that has decided with representatives from all of the various regions to say what can be described as real Carolina barbecue, what gets their certificate in the restaurant, et cetera. And there are others who say we need to come together. We need to lift all ships. By making sure we're all working together to make sure that all barbecue survives in some kind of its rustic nativism rather than everything being homogenized.
See, they're taking the toughness out of barbecue. And I'm afraid that as barbecue is attacked in this country, the very values of the land are going to go with it. You know, once we lose barbecue, that's the last bastion of really American survival. Yep. That and, you know, football.
If I had to throw down with one, it would be the Piedmont-style chopped, not pulled, but chopped barbecue, when you can actually use an ice cream scoop in the big vat of barbecue to put it on your bun.
So you did the North Carolina barbecue. I lived
Correct.
In South for a little while, mm-hmm. Myrtle Beach. They did the whole thing where it was, I don't know what style it was, but they were really pushing in a couple of different the barbecue spots that I'd go to, really pushing the dollop of coleslaw on the sandwich kind of thing.
That's a must.
Oh, okay. So that's not a provincial. That's just like East Coast thing. Maybe
you always that you put slaw on barbecue.
Get your gross coleslaw away from my delicious barbecue.
Well, see, I don't.
You know,
think...
I didn't like. I came around to it.
Well, it depends on the coleslaw though, because if you're just gonna serve me a bunch of chopped up cabbage and mayonnaise, pass.
Like I believe it or not. KFC coleslaw is almost ideal for a barbecue sandwich. There used to be, Jewel used to have something they called Dixie coleslaw, which was also just right. I don't like your fancy schmancy vinegar-based or German-style shredded.
I like some of the vinegar stuff, but I don't want a dollop o' mayo in my coleslaw. I'm not looking for that.
No, mayo's disgusting, so that turns me off to
you. You don't want too much mayo. You don't want it to ruin the acidity level. Best coleslaw around anywhere. Carson's ribs, Carson's coleslaw. That's as a salad course.
Okay,
I learned this as my father loves coleslaw of all things.
Is it connoisseur, is it just like a one? There is one coleslaw to rule them all.
No, I mean he has his taste, but he will order and lots of black pepper on it too.
Yes,
he will order like when Bones used to be open. What is now Elwood's Pine Lodge Tap, whatever it is, at Tui and Lincoln.
Oh, yeah, I know the spot.
Okay, Elwood's.
Yeah. Haven't been, know the spot. Used to play softball.
That used to be a restaurant, a Let Us Entertain You restaurant called Bones, which was, they had ribs. And they also had, you know, flat table video games in the bar that we used to play as kids. But that was a place, you know, like
sold.
A couple times a month, we would bring our family, my cousin's family, get a big long table, and we just did cover everybody in barbecue sauce. We'd eat ribs there. They had fabulous coleslaw. And I would say now that Carson's has probably inherited the mantle of, but that is like when we have a barbecue or something, like my parents will stop at Carson's,
grab the coleslaw,
buy coleslaw just to bring over,
importing coleslaw,
to bring over to someone's house as the coleslaw that we are having because it's so much better. That is, and yeah, you get a bowl of it and you get a lot of black pepper.
Black pepper
on there.
Is the way to go on that stuff. I didn't realize how much that brought to the coleslaw.
Yeah, good
party.
Point. Hackney's. Not bad at Hackney's either. Yeah, I forgot. I haven't been there in forever, but ooh, yeah. You get the onion loaf and
What's the spot off the Brown Line?
Where?
That does the here in town, right off the Brown Line, like on North Avenue. Twin Anchors, that's the spot.
Yeah.
They do great ribs. I don't remember if they've got a coleslaw or not.
I don't remember the coleslaw. The ribs
are fantastic.
The ribs are a little sweet and a little soft for me. They taste good, but I've got a texture issue with, I don't like fall off the bone ribs.
Oh, yeah. You like to fight them a little bit.
You had the ones that I made.
They're great. They're really great. It's just weird to watch you. Like, I can eat one, but watching you eat the six or seven with the amount of fight that you like your ribs. You like your ribs like you like your fish. You want to have to fight them and kill them before you eat them.
No, I like it toothsome. The point of it being a rib. I like it al dente. If I want barbecue off the bone, I'll get Carolina's or I'll get sliced brisket or something.
Yeah.
If I get a rib, I don't want to just be holding a rib because you boiled them and the rib popped right out. I want the tactile pleasure of being a coyote or a wolf or a hyena and eating the meat actually off the bone.
If it is some of that fall off stuff, I still want the char on it. Don't get me wrong. I want some of that kind of feel and flavor to it. I got to have that there.
I'm
not willing to abandon that ship.
You need to have the – I agree. I like the ribs finished on the grill. I do like the char is critical. And actually, I learned that from Cameron Hughes, of all people, when he was talking about wine pairings.
When he was Hayward.
No, but he's when he's describing wine pairings, that is actually when – if you are enjoying whatever sort of, you know, like a jammier Malbec with ribs, it's perfect. A really good Syrah is excellent that way. A Cote du Rhone, perfect with ribs. What brings it through is the char that you get on there, especially if you've got some – you know, past the fruit, if you have a little bit of that crushed brick or some of that graphite finish, I'm hungry.
Yeah,
now
I'm really hungry. I just had the bag. What was I eating? Tater skins or something like that out of the vending machine, and now I'm hungry again. Did you write anything down during the Bears press conference?
It was so damn boring.
I actually wrote a thing or two down.
What?
I was mining for little nuggets while we were listening to the Bears press conference
and
with Ryan Pace.
For the fjords.
Always pining for
mining
the fjords, Dan.
And pining.
I have one thought about the fjords. It's to pine for them.
All right. Well, save your Bears thought because I want to know what you wrote down because I
wrote down a couple things.
All right.
I have, hold on, one, two. Well, we did the details on Roquan Smith. All right, so let's call it four and a half things that I wrote down and found stuff.
Okay, I didn't get much. I credit you for finding something.
Well, it's the job.
Bernstein and McKnight brought to you by Northwestern Football. Coach Fitz and the Wildcats host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Illinois, and more this fall at Ryan Field. Season and single game tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. And the segment brought to you by Jersey Mike's Subs. The sub above difference is daily. Not shredded last night, not baked yesterday afternoon. Even if you were, good ingredients prepped fresh every day, because that's what daily means. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. Some Bears observations on the opening of camp coming up next on The Score. And we're giving away money.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Guess what time it is?
Time to give stuff to the people.
Yeah, time for
damn
your chance
right it is.
To win $1,000 in cash on The Score. This hour's keyword is Tool and members of Tool. Text Tool to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is Tool to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply.
If I'm not mistaken, Tool had a song on the soundtrack of the greatest baseball video game ever made, MVP Baseball 2005 by EA Sports. Check me on the math there if you want. I actually wrote stuff down, Dan, for the Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace press conference. They are not long thoughts, perhaps, and it was not offered solutions, rather, to these questions. In follow-up questions were asked by the press and reporters and stuff, were not really answered all that well, but I did write down a couple of things. One, and perhaps the most important thing, is the details on the Roquan Smith contract, what's holding things up. And that really, as I look through it, there's about six of the top 10 picks in last year's draft that are still unsigned. So we're going to, I think, parse out a couple of things about contracts in general. Because remember, when Kirk Cousins signed with the Vikings, got all that guaranteed money up front, right? Mm-hmm. And we were talking quite a bit about a shift in contract language. And when all those free agents signed to three-year deals that brought us up to the CBA, if you sign outside, if you sign as a top pick, right? I think it's the first two rounds, 4 years of control, right? But outside that, it's 3 years of control. So I wonder, given the CBA ending in three seasons, whether or not those free agents who are going to have to give up that fourth year, or rather rookies, incoming rookies, are going to have to give up that fourth year of control to a team based on, you know, the slotting of these deals.
Want some compensation for giving that up?
What if?
But you've already negotiated.
Not giving it up. In looking forward to looking potentially forward to what might be a lockout after three seasons.
Okay.
Some protection from that. I mean, if agents see it coming, if players see it
coming. I thought you were looking at the opposite. Maybe saying you'd prefer to become a free agent earlier and then be able to take advantage of the result of whatever that
is. I don't think you can get that.
I don't think you can either.
I don't think you can get that. But I wonder if they're building in some kind of protection or a little bit more compensation earlier if that fourth season for them under whatever contract that is doesn't happen. So I wrote that down too. I also heard that Ryan Pace was asked a question about Kevin White, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice what the response about Kevin White was? It wasn't necessarily dismissive. It wasn't, you know, just kind of a move-on generic answer, but it talked about Kevin White's confidence.
It wasn't him usually expressing his level of being excited or jacked up.
It was about momentum in the camp. It was about his confidence. It was about the intangible things. And I wondered, you know, while we were listening to the presser, and I'll wonder it now out loud, when's the last time Ryan Pace has used the three words Kevin, White, and fast in the same sentence?
Well, usually white and fast in the same sentence in general. So it's hard enough to get there without adding the keyword Kevin to it.
Well, but the keyword Kevin is kind of a keyword. He was a seventh overall pick in the Dan draft.
But he's been running like a fullback.
I know there's a lot of hope. I understand. You know, we were talking with Rich about it a lot last week when you were out driving around Wisconsin, and you and I have talked about it too, heading into the draft and out of it as well. What if you get something from Kevin White? And who we were talking with, Greg Gabriel, who said that Kevin White impressed him out there, that his confidence and that his route running and that his knowledge of the offense led him to perhaps look faster than he might actually be. And that's kind of been the knock on Kevin White, is that the straight line speed, the stuff you saw at the combine, was 4.3 whatever, and the playing speed is more like 4.4.
More than that.
Six-ish. More than that. 4.49. Yeah, no, it's a question. So I wondered that, because the response from Ryan Pace wasn't as enthusiastic as a lot of his responses sometimes.
Yeah, for a guy who's often over-the-top optimistic about everything this time of year, the tone was noticeably muted when it came to a direct response about that guy. That's true.
Pace also was asked about the edge rush. I think it was Adam Hogue who fired a question out about the edge rush. Do we like the guys that are here? Well, we're always open to adding more edge rush. That guy's gonna pluck waiver wires and cuts from other camps and take shots at pass rushers.
Yeah, he doesn't like Isaiah Irving as much as I do, and maybe isn't as enamored with Kylie Fitz as
He might like them, but trust them is a different story.
Yeah, well, Fangio said it. Always look to Vic. Always. When you really want to find out what's going on, he's incapable of lying to you. And he is. He's incapable of lying to you.
Nagy's going to jump on him and lay on him whenever the reporters come around with recorders.
Vic doesn't care. Vic will tell you stuff.
Lay him out.
And Vic will mention a guy who has he's had a checkered career. He hasn't been consistent. He doesn't sound like he has everything he needs. And again, this is sort of like the Lauri Markkanen thing. A lot of this means that we're talking about Leonard Floyd in a way that he hasn't really earned yet. I love watching Leonard Floyd when he's healthy. I love watching him draw holding penalties when he bends the edge. I like his motor and the number of coverage sacks he's able to get. And we always give credit to the coverage, but you also got to give credit to the pass rusher that never stops running. And sometimes he gets there just by running concentric circles and eventually
turns the corner quick,
winding up at the quarterback. But that's a skill. That's doing the job. That not quitting is great. I would like to see him just beat his guy and go kill the quarterback more often than he's done.
Yeah, question remains as to whether that's part of his game, whether he's got that club in the bag or not.
That's what you drafted him for. He better.
So the thing that I thought the most interesting from this press conference was something Matt Nagy said about the quarterback position. He was asked by Hub about his relationship with Mitchell Trubisky.
Hello. That porn
Hub. Different hello there. Mm-hmm. He was asked about his relationship with Mitchell Trubisky and the building of that relationship, the relationship between Mitchell and the offense, and how he's going to teach it. And Nagy said that it's going to come along organically and that we're not yellers and screamers at that position. We're going to teach. And I thought that was an interesting point to make, because you could just say we're not yellers and screamers as coaches, but he said we're not yellers and screamers at that position.
Well, you have
to
understand why.
And I wonder if he sees something that, exactly. I think I wonder if he sees something different in Mitchell. I wonder if he sees something different in that position. I wonder if it's not a combination of the two things. And to be quite honest with you, I wonder if he's not allowing for other coaches, not named Matt, maybe it's Mark Helfrich, who yell and scream a little bit. Yeah, what if it's a little bit of that dynamic? Because in order to find and push and grow Mitchell Trubisky as best you can, you might have to take a number of different approaches.
I think it's
and
more
I,
than that.
I find that interesting.
I think it's more than that. I think it's not a position, unlike linebacker or offensive lineman, it's not a position you can play harder on the next rep.
You just have to be more smart.
It's sort of like the baseball thing.
You have to be more cerebral.
What is yelling at a quarterback do? You know, maybe in the middle of a practice, if you see a guy slacking, in the middle of line drills, maybe you motivate a guy to go harder. Like, in your face, let's see, show me your war face.
Effort is really the only.
It's hard to play quarterback harder unless you think, is he not running fast enough?
Unless
is he scrambling out? Right. I mean, just that isn't a position that lends itself to that kind of coaching in general, I think.
I think that's a fair point. I think some of it is, at some point, there's going to come an expectation for how Mitchell Trubisky has grasped the offense, where perhaps it leads itself to yelling. Like, Mitchell, we've done this 1,000 times, you know? But it goes back to also what we've said about Mitchell for a while now. He has to work. And if he doesn't, it's on everybody.
This segment brought to you by Indeed. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates in an online dashboard. Get started at Indeed.com/hire. A note here from the Scores' Mark Grody, who now covers the Bears.
Okay.
Mitchell Trubisky has scrapped his social media.
All of it.
So what it says. Those are just those words.
All right, then.
Mitchell Trubisky has scrapped his social media.
How are we going to replace all those hot takes?
Oh,
those strong opinions.
Screen cap those.
Thoughts all about the world and the human condition and what could happen if football goes away. Now, it's not like it was anything that we were relying on for important information.
No, and it's,
right?
He got mined during the draft. People found the little ones that he'd had, the stupid little immature comments that he'd had, and kind of lived past those. Seems like we're fine there.
And when we had Mitchell on, didn't he thank us for mentioning his Twitter? He did.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because he had tweeted out something about the event he was working
on. And I brought him in, and as I always do with guests, I give out the Twitter handle. Yeah. I was like, hey, thanks for that.
Yeah, because he had pumped the event he was working.
All right, well, we have the Scores Afternoon Show coming in here next. Dan McNeil and Nick Shepkowski are going to be hosting today, so we will do transition with them forthwith on the Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.